Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are tuned into the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and I will turn it over now to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Terry Tackett.
I'm doing great tonight. How about you?
I'm doing great. Hey, the number to call in here is 740-383-9944. If you want to call in for a prayer request or just to discuss something, please feel free to. I'm glad to field your questions. Again, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. I am the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship Baptist Church in Prospect, Ohio. We are at 209 East Water Street. Our phone number is 740-494-2222. Our web address is prospectccf.com, and we have services at 9:30 on Sunday morning and 10:30, and also we have midweek services along with youth group on Sunday evening, and also an evening service at 6:30. So a lot of good stuff happening. I did want to mention that we have tomorrow night is Beggar's Night of all things. Here it goes again, right? Kids everywhere. But anyway, it was supposed to rain. I pray the rain holds off a little bit. There's a lot of kids looking forward to it. For those of you in the Prospect area that'll be there, we'll be serving hot dogs and hot chocolate and coffee as we do every year. And I know the church across the street are gonna have brats. I think they upstage us a little bit. That was the Lutheran church. But no, it's great to work together as a community and do these things. And the fire department will be out with our fire our animated fire dog in costume and fire trucks, and it's just going to be a fun time for everyone. Good to be here tonight. Hey, I want to take just a minute, though, tonight, and we had a pretty tragic event here in this country the other day where there were some innocent people worshiping in a temple, and someone came in and literally chased them around and killed them. And it breaks my heart. I would like to just to take a moment and a moment of silence so you can pray for these families. I'm going to go ahead and read their names if I could over the air, and pray as you will if you're listening. Just pray individually for these people's families. There was Joyce Feinberg, who was 75. Richard Gottfried, 65. Rose Malinger, 97. Jerry Rabinowitz, 66. Cecil Rosenthal, 59. David Rosenthal, 54. They were brothers. Bernice Simon, 84. Sylvan Simon, 86. Daniel Stein, 71. Melvin Wax, 88. And Irving Younger, 69. Lord, I ask today that you be with the families of these victims. Lord, that you would bring peace and togetherness in the community. And Lord, that they would find the comfort of your Son, Jesus Christ. In your name, amen. Good to be here. Good to be here. It's been a little bit of a blustery day, kind of nice, warmer than yesterday. But I don't know if we're ready for this winter stuff. Yeah. I had to laugh. I mentioned in church Sunday that as chilly as everyone was, I said, you realize when February rolls around and we get a day like Sunday, everyone's going to come in wearing short sleeves and thinking summer's on its way. It's funny how our bodies get used to that, isn't it? Anyway, it's been a pretty good week. I can't complain. Team Kids going well. Of course, that's on Tuesday. We'll be the first Tuesday of the month coming up. Team Kid, if your kids are from 3 years old all the way through sixth grade. And then I have the middle school and high school kids the same night at Pizza with Pastor. So we have a great time. It's from 6:30 to 8. And parents, if you want to just bring your kids and drop them off, they will be well taken care of. And you can come back and pick them up, or you can hang around, either way. And if you want to come back, just make sure you're there by 8 o'clock. And maybe you can go get some groceries or whatnot, or just spend some quiet time. Parents have a hard time with quiet time today, don't they? And I want to talk a little bit about that tonight. It's very important that mom and dad, I know you're busy. I've raised four kids and spent a lot of time with my grandkids now. We've got 13 of them, soon to have 14 through marriage. And it's very hard for moms and dads to find time to be together. You know, in Scripture it tells us that a man is to leave his father and mother and his wife, and they're to be joined together and become one flesh. Now, think about that. One flesh. That means you're no longer two, but you're one operating. You're two people. You're one person operating in two bodies with one God. So it's a three-way relationship. But what that kind of takes is, it takes a little bit of time. It takes a little bit of time to spend together. You know, you hear, when someone's family, should you want to spend time with them? And if your spouse is the most important part of the family, I think that's a great way. You know, we need to spend time together, get to know each other. Do we do that? Terry, you ever been married? No. But you were engaged once, am I correct? Yeah. Didn't you just love the time that you spent with her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We all do. I know that my wife and I, the little bit of time that we get away to ourselves, it's kind of nice when we just don't have any outside stress of needing to be somewhere or do something. And, you know, now at our age, we're no longer spring chickens. I don't know, fall roosters. I don't know. But anyway, you know, our thing sometimes can be just, we get to sit back on the couch, maybe have a warm cup of something and watch movies. And like many guys my age, I've been kind of pulled into some of the movies she likes. And she on her, the other hand, my wife Shirley, she will watch some of the things I do that I know that she probably really doesn't like. I like all those crazy shows, like the adventure shows and the survival shows and the gold striking shows and all those kind of things and discovery type things. And you know, women are typically into that kind of thing. We do are on the same page on what we like to watch as far as sport type things and whatnot. But it's so important to spend time with those you love. And sometimes we get caught up in spending money instead of spending time. And money is kind of a cheap way to pay back for the guilt that you feel for not being there. Would you kind of agree with that? I think sometimes that parents...
That's a great way you put it. That's good. Yeah. You're right.
I mean, you feel guilty because you're not there, so you buy them something on the way home, or and you know, we do that. I mean, what guy hasn't bought his girl flowers because he messed up, right? Well, it's the same thing with us, as you know, man, I really feel bad. I should have been with the kids today. Maybe I'll pick them up something on the way home, or surprise them with this or surprise them with that. And that's great. I don't say not surprise them. I don't say that you shouldn't buy your kids things. But the most important thing that we can do is spend time with them. And now we want to talk, where do we spend time with them? Now, that's another good question, isn't it? Where do you spend time with your kids? Do you know, I've watched parents over the years, and even as I grew up, the parents that attended things at the school when they could with their kids. And it's very important, I found, for parents to attend events at school because the kids know they're there whether they're giving them the time of day or not. Now, you'll find as your kids hit about middle school and start into high school, sometimes mom and dad becomes an embarrassment to them. Like, yeah, my mom's over there, but let's not go over there. She'll talk to us. Kind of, I don't know. Kids just go through that stage. They go from running up to hug you and give you a kiss to if you go to hug them, they're like, whoa, hey, my friends are right here, you know. So it's a different type of relationship at school sometimes. I'm sure you can relate if you're a parent to what I just said. But it's still important that you're there and that they know you're there. It's a support. And even if it's a secondary, a backseat support, that you're there. It's also not a time for any I gotchas or playing out a divorce over your children. I've seen young people that get so worked up because they know mom and dad are both there and they're scared to death they're going to get into it in front of somebody. Man, what a thing to put a kid through when they're trying to do something either academically or extracurricular of some kind, and they've got to worry in the background, are these two quote-unquote adults going to go at each other.
I had to be the mediator in that situation a couple of times.
Did you?
Yeah.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I had to sit in the middle and basically babysit two adults who...
Isn't that horrible for the children?
Couldn't seem to get along for a 90-minute basketball game.
Because it's supposed to be about the kids, not about them.
Yeah, yeah.
And for what's best for the kids. Right. You know, I'm not a big fan of divorce, obviously. But I've seen many situations where there is a divorced couple and they've decided for the children they are going to get along. They're going to work with each other on school issues. You know, there's nothing harder for a parent than when one parent decides, you know what, I'm going to try to be a good, I didn't say angry or mean, but a good disciplinarian with my kids. They're going to know their boundaries. And I'm going to say no once in a while because it's best for them if I do. I'm going to make them earn things. I'm going to try to be a good parent. And then you have another parent that says, I just want you to like me. Do whatever you want. And now you got a battle.
That's what I was going through.
Was it really?
Good cop, bad cop.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the kids get to be an age and they get to decide, who do I really want to spend my time with? And unfortunately, a lot of times they go with the parent that's giving them the most, and it really doesn't work out well. But I do want to encourage you, parent, about something in this situation. You hold your ground and do what's right, because here's what eventually happens. As that young person grows up and begins to look back on a situation and weigh what was really going on, they're going to realize that they had a parent that really did care because they were making an effort to parent. And they're going to have look and say, I've got another parent that must not have cared too much about me because they let me do whatever I wanted to do. And so trust me, hold your ground. It'll work out. It's real interesting. I was... talking to some young people a couple years ago, and a young lady had made the comment that one of her friends had said, it must be nice to have parents that love you. And she said, what do you mean? My mom and dad don't love me. You know, typical teenage kids, my mom and dad don't love me. She said, no, yeah, they do. She said, you get punished all the time. She said, I never get punished. My parents could care less what I do. She said, at least your parents love you enough to punish you. Wow, that came out of a seventh grader's mouth. Can you believe that?
She was ahead of her time.
She was ahead of her time. But she was right.
Right.
She was right.
Right.
And it's so much, and understand, parents, I understand this. You come home from work. Sometimes you're dead on your feet. Maybe you've had a bad person at work and a boss or another employee that's just been running fingernails down a chalkboard to you all day long. Mm-hmm. You come home, you're tired, you look at your checkbook and you're negative in your balance, and all of a sudden the kids come to you and ask you to do something and you say no, and they start throwing a fit and you say, okay, just whatever, just go do it. I'm encouraging you, for the sake of your child, back up, take a breath, and weigh the situation and do what's right anyway. But I do understand where you're at. I do understand that. But I've seen several parents that for the sake of their children, the phone's picked up. Hey, so-and-so said that at your house they're going there this weekend to spend the night. Do you know that? Okay, just cool. And that's the way the phone call goes.
It takes 10 seconds.
It takes 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And, you know, even in a divorce situation...
And it could potentially save, you know, save a life. I mean...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
And
it's a call you have to and you should make.
And you should make. Even if you're worried that the other end, they're just going to yell at you, make the call anyway.
Yep.
Because the kids are too important not
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And... you know, I encourage parents, put your egos aside and what your hatred or whatever it is. You know, first of all, hatred only hurts you. And if you love somebody at one point enough to be married to them, even though you may not get along or don't want to be around them or what they do may even repulse you, somewhere deep inside, I hope you hope the best for that person. You know, because it's only better for you, for them, and for your children.
2 hours out of your busy schedule...
Absolutely. I've got some in my own family. One of my children's parents are, well, a couple of them are, but one of them in particular that I'm thinking of at the moment, I have an in-law child that their parents are divorced and have been divorced, and they've had different spouses for many years. But when we have family gatherings, just as we did for a birthday party the other night, both couples are there. They're cordial with each other. They're great with the kids. There's interaction. Boy, that makes it so much easier on the kids. You know what I mean? And even the grandkids. And you know, kids don't need that stuff. But, you know, this all comes back to where do we spend our time and how do we spend our time with our kids? I look at a lot of polls. I'm a poll nut. People that do surveys and polls, the good ones, I mean really reputable places that do them. And in the world and Christian spectrum, which I would look at a lot of those polls being a pastor, the Barna polls are really well conducted. George Barna is his name, and he does Barna polls on a lot of different things. And one of the things that he was looking at is what kids go to church when they're adults. And it was real interesting that kids that their fathers attend church with them are like 75% more likely to go to church as adults than kids that just go with their mom. Isn't that interesting? And but yet, most of the time we see it's the moms that are bringing the kids to church. How interesting is that? But then again, the numbers have been decreasing, so you kind of see why. But in the same time, where you have mom and dad that take their kids to church together, the instances of those kids growing up to go to church as adults is much higher than anything else. And, you know, I've heard this old saying before that, oh, you know, I just don't want to put anything on my kids until they're 18 and can make up their own mind. I don't want to force religion on them. I got to tell you something, parents out there. If you are not going to take an active role in how your children are raised, the evils of this world will raise them for you. That's just a heads up. By the time they get to be 18, do you actually think they're going to say, well, now I need to go back and revisit this thing? No, that's not what's going to happen. So by making that decision, you are making a decision for them. And I think you need to understand that. If you want your kids to weigh their options on what they believe and don't believe, you've got to give them equal opportunity to both sides of the coin. And we already know that in school, they're going to be taught, in most cases, they're going to be taught evolution. They're going to be taught. They're not going to be taught about God because He's not allowed in schools anymore. Mm-hmm. And only when there's a tragedy, then people say, "Where was God?" Well, you kicked Him out years ago. But anyway, so you've got that side of it. They're not going to be taught about God. They're going to be taught everything from a secular standpoint. So if they're going to have that other side of the coin, where are they going to get it? The only place they're going to get it is in church. So basically, if you're raising your kids and you're not bringing them to church and not teaching them to be taught the other side of that, you're basically making a decision for them that they're going to believe what the world tells them secularly and have nothing to do with anything spiritually. And I got to tell you guys, in most cases, your grandparents, great-grandparents, or great-great-grandparents would roll over in their grave if they knew that was going on. Because, you know, in past generations, we lived in a society that most people truly leaned on God for so much and trusted God and had good lives because of it. Some of the things, and you know, Terry, I think you can remember some of this stuff growing up. You're not quite as old as I am, but you're not a spring chicken either. You know, I don't remember them talking about things like a suicide rate of young people. I don't remember, first of all, there was never such thing as a school shooting. That was never going to happen. And we had more guns then than ever. We all had guns in our home. But there was no school shootings. There was no, and that was not that didn't mean I was a proponent one way or the other. I'm just stating a fact that something's different. And we didn't have this bullying issue that we talk about today. There's some people really being hurt deeply by words today when it used to be kind of taken care of in-house and by the kids in the school. I was not a real big kid in school. I was a little rascal, and I could be bullied real easy. But it usually got taken care of pretty quick.
I had it happen to me once. My mom called the school and talked to the teacher, and the teacher himself took care of it, and it never happened again.
There you go.
Ever.
There you go. And
end of story. It was just never.
That was it. Yeah. That was it. And you know, teasing's always gone on, and kids tease back and forth. And I, for one reason, maybe it's because I was a victim of it a little bit myself as a young person, I always had a real soft spot for kids that were being picked on. Now, one time I stepped up in a situation where a kid was being physically picked on, and I got the tar beat out of me. And that happens too. But you know what? It was worth it. It basically stopped the whole thing. But what I'm getting at is that in times past, say what you want about everything old-fashioned and progressive change that we got to have and all this, we didn't have the violence. We didn't have the hatred. We didn't have the unhappiness that we're seeing today. And we got to ask ourselves honestly the question, where is this? I know that you take God out of society and you see what happens. And I believe that we're seeing the result of decisions that were made in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And we're seeing the result of that. But at the same time, on a bright side, we're also seeing the result of those people that have said, you know what, we're going to do it anyway, or we're going to have something over here. If this is what's going to happen over here, we're going to find a way to rectify it over here, and have become. Sometimes we can't always change laws within a country that have happened already, and it's hard to get things changed that way. But many times, if you're creative enough, you can find proactive ways of working around it or doing it differently, whatever it is. And I think that sometimes we have to think that way, think outside the box a little bit. In thinking outside the box, I think of a lot of Christians in places like Vietnam, China, a lot Indonesia, different places in the world where if they're going to go to church, they got to sneak away at night in the middle of the night, and they got to go different routes and come in one at a time so they can come together and worship.
What was the one I just heard about? Was it Mongolia, I think, or something? They had to do that because they were getting ambushed or something.
Yeah,
or something,
I mean, you know? So. But the point is, they said, okay, you're not going to allow us to meet. We're going to have to sneak and meet.
Yeah, yeah.
They're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And
they were holding these crusades like it. Ungodly hours, you know, yeah. Because
they have to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know there's a lot of persecution in China right now. They're locking up churches and locking up people and taking things away. And the government has so much control there. And that's something we have to be careful of in this country. Just how much control do we give the government? We're supposed to be a country of states with states' rights. And more and more we're federalizing everything, and then once the federal government says you can't do something, it makes it very, very hard to do. We've been so blessed in this country that we have the freedom to worship. There's not a state in this union that you can't get up on Sunday morning, put your clothes on, and drive to church and worship with somebody. But I'll be honest with you, Terry, I don't know that that's going to be a thing in the future, for sure or not. There's already been certain attempts to change those things but we've been a pretty strong country in keeping that freedom. And I pray that we always do, because we forget sometimes. I look out at the congregation sometimes, and sometimes I'll even tell them, I said, you know, there are people in other countries this morning that would do backflips to be able to do what you're doing right now. Why aren't more people taking advantage of the freedom that we have to do it? Because once it's taken away, you'll wish you could and you can't. I know a friend of mine went into a little church in the Philippines, and they had one Bible up front and had all the pages torn out. And he said, what's this all about? And they said, the person showed him the church said, well, we only have one Bible. So everyone takes a different page home every week and then brings it back. And see, here, we have so many Bibles. Most people, even if they never go to church, have a Bible somewhere. I have people sometimes bring me books when people die and pass away. And I always get these family Bibles sometimes in a cedar box that says Holy Bible on them. And they were either given at a death or maybe a marriage or some event like that. And they've never been opened and never been touched. And, I got to tell you, folks, those things are out there to read. And the thing funny, too, with social media is that all the kids, they don't want to carry a Bible. They don't want to read. And even if they say they're reading it, they're using their phone. They're going on their phone, looking it up, and reading that way. But I got to tell you, there's something that is very personal about your personal Bible that you hang on to, that you touch, that you write notes in, that has your personal story in it. You can turn to things instantly and look at them even when you don't get signal. I know my Bibles are worn out and they're covered in notes. And that's the way they should be. And I've inherited Bibles from my mother and my grandmother and other members of my family, my sister, my brother, my dad. I've got different ones. And I love going back and seeing things that they were thinking at a particular time and notes that they made. How wonderful a thing to hang on to. So, yes, having a printed copy of the Bible is important. And what I like about it in church, I'd love to mandate this, but I haven't been able to, that people need to bring their Bibles or use a pew Bible, but they can't use their phone. Because the thing is, in church, you don't know whether they're reading their Bible or whether they're updating their grocery list in the service or talking to friends. Or I had to laugh one week. It's been several years ago, three years ago, that I was looking on Facebook one Monday, and I noticed this lady that was sitting in church was posting things exactly at the time she was sitting in church. And I just got the biggest kick out of that. So I just kind of anonymously posted, hey, if you're going to post stuff during church, probably not a good idea to have the pastor as a friend. But, you know, the Bible's a great thing to hang on to, yeah, and to have. But, you know, bringing your family to church is such a good thing. And I know I don't talk to one parent out there that doesn't say, oh, man, sorry we're late, but so-and-so gave us grief about coming this morning. Or the kids didn't want to get ready. Or, oh, it's like pulling teeth getting that girl to come to church. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. You know, one of the biggest lies I've ever heard repeated so many times is that my kids don't go to church, or I don't go to church because I was forced to as a kid. And I hear that all the time, and I think, you know what, that is what, the two words, cop and out, that's a cop out. And I'll tell you why. I've never heard anyone say, I hate football because I was forced to go to practice as a kid. I hate baseball because I was forced to go to practice. I'll never read again because I was forced to go to school. I mean, give me a break, folks. That's not the case. You don't go to church. For whatever reason you don't go to church, it is not because you were forced as a child.
Well, Pastor, we don't go because the Browns play at 1 o'clock.
Well, that's a problem, too. I'm going to have to write them a letter. Yeah. They, because we do have people that sometimes skip out and head to the Browns games. Come on, what are we going to do? Well, they'll go to the game.
We got to go tailgate, though.
Yeah, they'll go all the way there. I'm like, where was so-and-so? Well, it was a home game. I'm like, come on, man. You know, God had a home game, too. It was right here in his house. You know, why aren't you here playing? You know, I'd rather score points here than up there. And you just got to watch them score points there. Yeah.
That nasty NFL.
And it's really hard today. We've changed so much in our society. When I was growing up as a young person, we had we went to church on Sunday morning. There was Sunday school, and then there was church, a service after the Sunday school hour. And then we came back on Sunday night. Usually it was about 6:30, and we get out of there about 8 o'clock. And then on Wednesday, it was 6:30 or 6:30 to 8 o'clock, we had a brief Bible study and then prayer meeting. And that was every week. It never changed. And most churches in America did the exact same thing. And schools knew not to schedule sports events on Wednesday nights because half their team would be gone. And parents said, even if you have the game, my kid won't be there because this is what we do as a family. And we knew that's what it was. Now, will I be honest with you? Was I tickled to death sometimes when parents say, oh, we're going to stay home tonight? And I thought, ah, cool, you know, I won't have to get ready and go. But all kids were that way. But then there was other times as I began to get older, it was, oh, come on. You know, I had friends there. I wanted, so there were some friends I didn't go to school with that I wanted to see at church. And a good friend of mine that we lost contact for many, many years, Dana Murray, he lives up here now. And I hadn't seen him in, oh, my word, I bet it was 35 years. And I saw him at a football game at Elgin. And he had just recently, well, it was right before he moved up here. But we were best friends in school, and we didn't go to school together. We knew each other as neighbors and had gone to, you know, went to grew up in church together all the way through church, from elementary school all the way up through high school. And I have other lifelong friends. I just got reacquainted with one at a funeral last year that lives in Pennsylvania that I hadn't seen in 35 years. And, you know, it's amazing the people you stay in contact with, and they're good people. And still today, you know, I'll tell you something, Terry, I can go on Facebook and say, you know, I'm having a rough day, I really could use some prayer. And I've got friends that I knew in church as a kid from 45 years ago that will comment in there, I'm praying for you, Steve. What's up, buddy? Now, there's not a lot of people that can say they've held on to friends that long. But those are friends that you meet in church and people that care about you.
That's
are there.
That's the epitome of what you call a lifelong friend, right?
It now. Is a lifelong friend. Yeah. But the thing that keeps us together is our faith in Christ. We've kept a common goal.
Absolutely.
You know, as we grow up, you know, we're going to have friends we play football with that we don't play football with anymore. We're going to have friends that do all kinds of things. We go to school with a different interest. People go different ways. And, I tell my seniors in FCA at school and at church that, you know, you realize that by this time next year, about half the people that you're friends, you will have not seen. And by the following year, it'll be down to about, you know, eventually there's going to be a handful of people that you went to school with, you will even have contact with, because you all go different directions. But when you share that common bond of having faith in Christ together, that bond never goes away. And those people don't go away because you keep that common bond. And that's one of the things I really think we're missing in this country. They talk about kids today not having hope. Well, one of that great hope is that great hope in Christ that we have. And kids aren't being shown that. They aren't being taught that. You know, I went through some rough stuff as a young person, and I mean some really rough stuff, and all the way from, I'll say, age 12, 13, all the way through my mid-20s. A lot of tragedies went on, a lot of things just that could have devastated me, and in a lot of cases would have devastated people, or I'd have turned away from everything I liked and knew and turned on family. But here's the thing, I always knew I had hope, because I always believed in God. And I always knew that God promised me that there was always hope in Him, that you'll get through this. You'll make it through. Just keep your eyes on me. Trust me, I'll get you through it. And some things seemed impossible for me to get through. And I did. And it was because of that faith I had. But think now, let's move ahead today. And you've got a young person that say they're going through a drug issue or an alcohol issue or a family that falls apart or financial things just hit the wall. You're on the street. Maybe you don't have anywhere to live. Maybe you do have somewhere to live and you have a family and you're going to find yourself on the street. I mean, all these situations, and you got no one to turn to. You don't have any promise that tomorrow's going to be better. Can you see why people just give up? You see, that's the difference between having faith in Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that He says He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. And He says, turn to me, all of you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I mean, it's the truth, and I live by that. And I'm telling you what, I've been through some stuff. It's kind of funny, you know, I'll have people come in and, you know, we've done things with Celebrate Recovery. You've probably heard of that, which is a addictive Republican or
Is it like an outreach or is it?
No. It's my mind just went blank on me. It's an addiction recovery program.
Okay.
And
I see the signs everywhere.
Yeah, and what it's about, Celebrate Recovery is a little bit different. It's about it's not just about drugs and alcohol, but it could be shopping.
Oh.
It could be smoking. It could be anger. It could be temper. A lot of things. People, because the truth is, all addictions have certain things in common. And you need someone to hold you accountable that may not even have the addiction you do, that can point you to other things. It's a great working program. It was developed through Saddleback Church. The neat thing about it is that people come to that, and many times they'll talk to you, and just because you have the appearance of having it together, they think you always did. Or maybe you're a pastor and they think, well, you don't know where I've been. How do they don't know where I don't know where they've been?
Yeah.
But the difference is that, you know, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what you've done, that there's something that Christ offers. He says, you know, trust me, and I'll wipe it away. You know, it's one thing to have baggage from things you've done, but when you know that God has forgiven you, and that's the whole reason Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood, was to pay for every bit of the sin anyone will ever commit in this world. So all you have to do is have faith in him, and it's gone, man. You know, confess that you know you've done it. It's gone. You don't have to carry a guilt about it, and you can move on. But when you start piling guilt on and you don't have any hope, that's why we're seeing the suicides we're doing. So we need to start having hope. And I want to encourage you out there tonight. Find a church, man. You need to be there. And make sure they're teaching about Jesus Christ and who he is and the truth. And because that's what's going to set you free.
And not a fashion show, you know.
Not a fashion show, not a...
Go be seen or...
Not some huge public event. You might as well be at a concert. Come where you're hearing the truth. And where someone cares about you. And your pastor is a shepherd that wants to take care of his flock. And it's so important. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. We'd love to have you.
Always got room, don't you, Pastor?
We'll make room if we don't. We'll make room if we don't. But you're going to find it is a very open, friendly congregation. What a huge mix of people. We have no major age group. They're from little to very old, and we're just all different people from different walks of life that are looking for Christ to guide us every day and come together. We're about Heinz 87, I think. You know, they even split again. But no, we're there, and we'd love to have you there. Sunday morning, we have Bible school for kids and adult Sunday school classes at 9:30, but service time is 10:30. If you want to check us out first to that service, you might want to. But come anytime. Evening is at 6:30 in the evening. So I'd love to have you guys. God bless you guys. I think, Terry, we're about out of time. What do we got? 3 seconds? 30 seconds. Man, that's all day. Anyway, continue to pray for all the victims in our country that have been victims of violence. Pray for these elections coming up, folks. They're very important. And you vote your conscience. Please don't let the ads sway you. You vote your conscience. And God bless you guys. Have a great week.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio.